Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Bernard Courtois, President and CEO of ITAC, the Information Technology Association of Canada. Bernard brings a long history of successes as a leading business and technology leader. Bernard is also an outspoken advocate for the deployment of information and communications technology tools to improve business productivity and to achieve ITAC societal and public policy goals. Bernard, thank you for coming in today to share your deep insights with the audience.
Happy to do this, Steve.
Can you tell us more about your work prior to taking your current position with ITAC?
I was a lawyer, litigation lawyer, doing commercial litigation, but a lot of regulatory work for a variety of clients, telecommunications, pipelines, various things. But I did a lot of regulatory work for a few decades, and I joined Bell Canada in 1991, and in the years that followed, I ran a bunch of corporate functions from the law department to the regulatory department to I was chief strategy officer around the time that Bell made a strong push to the internet and to convergence, which turned out at that time to be ahead of its peers globally, and had a range of other responsibilities involving public affairs and government relations. So it's a background that got me involved very deeply into public policy issues at quite an expert level.
I see. So I can see how your background is a perfect match for really where you're going today with ITAC.
Yes, I'm very happy. There's no better industry really to be involved with, I think, and to represent than the ICT industry. It's absolutely essential and fundamental to the growth and prosperity of a modern economy. Canada is a world leader. We're very strong in this, and so it's a very interesting role to be playing.
What do you see as ITAC's mission going into 2007, and what do you hope to accomplish?
The basic function of our association is to promote the development of our industry and the contribution it can make to Canada, to its prosperity and its social development. And at the present time, we need to continue to emphasize the importance of information and communications technology to progress throughout the economy, as well as in public services and so on. And the other really top issue at the present time is shortage of people. We have a demographic challenge in this country that's playing out in a number of sectors, in a range of things that's concentrated out west because of the overheating economy in Alberta, and that spills over into BC and Saskatchewan and so on. But the fact is that fundamentally, demographically, we are a country where demographic growth is slowing, where people are going to be hitting retirement, where the economy is still doing well. All those factors exist in the ICT industry in spades because we're growing faster than the economy, and they're rendered worse because of the fact that for a few years, kids have been turned away from technology streams and career streams and anything that had to do with math and technology and science, so that on top of the same shortage the rest of the economy is facing, we're facing an artificial or extra shortage because of that shift in where kids were orienting their careers. They were getting the wrong information about whether there were jobs in IT. They were getting the wrong information about what kinds of jobs they were, what it was like to work in IT. And really, in an industry that is fundamentally dependent on skilled human resources and people's brains as its basic stock, that's a very serious challenge.
So you've got a very sort of troubling sort of scenario happening, and you're trying to take a leadership position to try to address it.
Yes, we believe that in the global shifting that's taking place in the economy, Canada actually does have a pretty good competitive position. Most developed countries are going to have to be racing to be more innovative, more intense about leading in knowledge jobs and so on. We have an excellent base to do that. We have, under many calculations, the most educated population and certainly a fantastic infrastructure in terms of telecommunications and so on, and a very, very strong industry, lots of innovation here. So the risk we run is if we run short of people, jobs that we could legitimately have continued to grow here and that are the top jobs, we'll be forced to send out. And as you know, jobs nowadays, particularly knowledge jobs, are quite mobile. So it's a very, very important challenge, and we need to get the word out. And there's actually a lot going on in our industry, but that's our number one challenge.
You know, you brought up this whole concept of sort of a skill shortage and ICT adoption rates, but also in the news you hear about globalization, business agility, productivity gap, political uncertainty, and so forth. You're in a particularly unique senior Canadian leadership position that enables you to take the pulse of what is shaping business and industry today. Can you share your views on the top challenges you see facing businesses in 2007 and beyond?
Yes, ITAC has been involved for many years in studying the relationship between productivity and deployment of information and communications technology. We started some of this work back in the 1990s when people were questioning whether all this spending and this boom in IT was really having an impact on the economy, and the studies started showing it, including some that we helped commission. Now it's very much accepted that productivity in a modern economy is absolutely driven by the use of information and communications technology, not just investing in it and letting the box sit in the corner, but changing the way you do business or you run public services to make use of it. At the same time, that this phenomenon is there and is pervasive throughout the economy, the studies show we have a productivity gap with the U.S. and with certain other countries in the OECD that we would consider ourselves our competitive peers. So we have a productivity gap. Then we commissioned some studies and others have shown that we actually have an ICT deployment gap. So in our country, our economy is largely composed of small and medium businesses. We're the most SMB-centric economy in the world. And our small and medium businesses are not using technology as much as their U.S. counterparts. So that is really, it's now been identified that the cause of Canada's productivity gap, which is a prosperity gap as well, is caused by underuse of our technology. So we obviously have to get the word out in that. And it's interesting what it means for people that work in information and communications technology is that we're actually underusing that technology. So the demand for our people, the demand for use of our technology should actually be much higher than it is. And nowadays, whether you run an auto plant or a mining operation or an oil and gas operation, whether you run the healthcare system, you should be using information communications technology much more pervasively than you should. The Canadian healthcare system is only spending 1.8% of its budget on information and communications technology. If you had a commercial operation serving the public the way the healthcare system does, they couldn't operate with that lower budget. They would go bankrupt. They just couldn't work. So imagine fixing that means we probably have to double and possibly triple the amount of ICT that we use in the healthcare system. So if we do that, imagine what that will require in terms of more people with the skills in ICT. And if we don't do that, then the healthcare system in Canada will soak up all our public budgets and will really begin to continue to deteriorate to the point where it will not meet the public's needs, or it will soak up so much money that it will put a cramp on everything else, a cramp on everything else we're trying to do. So it's going to be essential that this be tackled. It's going to be essential that we tackle the general business underuse of our technology if we're going to continue to maintain our standard of living. That has huge implications for the people who work in our industry, because it's simply going to accelerate the shortage of the required skills.
So what are your proposed solutions to these challenges? In other words, how can we get higher ICT adoption amongst small and medium-sized businesses? How can we have higher adoption within the healthcare sector and other sectors? How can we make a difference in the marketplace so that these changes will occur?
Yes, the solutions are different depending on whether you're talking the public sector or business. In the case of small and medium businesses, we were perplexed as to why Canadian business owners would not be using technology as much as their U.S. counterparts that operate in a similar economy. And so we had a study done by the Center for the Study of Living Standards here in Ottawa. They're reputed to be very good doing ongoing work on assessment of productivity trends and how it impacts productivity. We had them examine what are the causes of this underuse, and they were able to explain away only a very small part. Much of it is due to the fact that there's more small and medium businesses in Canada, but that just brings us back to the problem. Why are these businesses underusing? Some of it was due to the lower Canadian dollar, which made it cheaper to hire employees than to buy machinery or equipment to give you productivity. The Canadian dollar has gone up since then, so that sort of addresses that. But there was a huge remaining unexplained factor that was due to the fact that what we were able to surmise in doing focus groups and talking to the people in our industry that serve that market and all that is that the U.S. market is 12 times larger than the Canadian market. So with that much more gain or revenue to be gained, that people are prepared to take more risks and make more bold investments in order to generate growth. So we have to crack that mindset difference in Canada that is causing us to then not grow as fast as we should. And that causes people to think that we're more risk averse in Canada and we're not as intense, but it's really very simply a very rational human behavior of you take more risk when the rewards are going to be bigger. But that means that we're, as a nation, we're underperforming as a result, so that's something we need to crack. So we also then commissioned another study to see what causes owners and chief financial officers and chief operating officers of small and medium businesses, what's their attitude towards investing in ICT, what would cause them, what motivates them to invest or not invest. And so we got the results of that survey, and they were very interesting. Business owners absolutely make the link between productivity and ICT. They know that investing in ICT will generate productivity gains. They are, in vast majority, like close to 80%, sometimes even above 80%, recognizing the value of an investment in ICT and how it can positively affect the bottom line and so on. But in a perplexing way, though, they don't make it their top priority for investment. Their priorities at the moment are in hiring people. That's normal. We mentioned there's shortages everywhere, and on investing in things that are not ICT, etc. So we need to break that mold, and the study shows that the people who run smaller businesses do not have access to enough IT expertise. They have some, 20% of them have no IT staff. Another 15% have none but use outside consultants a bit. In effect, they do not have access to the expertise that is theirs, in other words, objective viewing things from their standpoint, to tell them what use they can make of technology. So there are two things that we draw from that. And they see problems about training and when they deploy technology, and they don't know exactly what all the good things you can do with the technology. So there's two things you need to tackle that. It means that our industry has to continue to make its products much simpler to explain and to use for small and medium business owners. And many are doing that. There's a general trend in our industry to things like software as a service, to package things that are easier to use, to take things that you buy a new application or some software, and you don't need to do a lot of time at each workstation to roll it out. You can roll it out centrally. All kinds of things are being done to make life simpler. That's going to work well with small and medium businesses. But we obviously need to address the fact that they don't have access to the knowledge and the skilled resources they need. So we need to work on that. And we need to do something that, in our view, will be a bit of a wake-up call to cause them to say maybe they should, you know, look at it more seriously at the present time and try to do a bit of a spurt of use of technology. And for that, we're saying governments should perhaps put in the window a credit for investing in ICT that will be in force for maybe a few years and cause people to take the time off their busy schedule and rethink what they can do with technology. Because one of the interesting things we found from this survey is that business owners and business leaders in smaller businesses understand investment in technology in the reverse of what it should be. They, when we asked them, what will make you grow your investment in ICT, they said, as my business grows, I'll need more desktops, laptops, cell phones, etc. So growth in my business will cause growth in ICT investment. When you question the firms, we took a subsegment of the firms that invest in technology more than the others. Those firms did not have internal growth driving ICT investment. They realized that ICT investment can actually generate growth and generate growth in profits by changing the value to the supply chain and that kind of thing. So what we need to do is we need to get Canadian small and medium business owners to more intensely pursue growth and therefore take the time to think through what they need to do differently. If you run a small business, you're so busy running, doing what you're doing every day, that you don't have time to step back and say, well, how can I operate differently and then generate even further growth in what I'm doing? So that's our challenge.
That's interesting. So it sounds like doing these kind of interviews and just getting information out to business owners would help.
That's right. We're trying to find ways, and we're trying to go and talk to other associations and so on and see how we can get the word out that businesses in the Canadian economy are missing out on growth possibilities. That's also why we're happy that there's a national discourse about economic strategy. Minister Flaherty, yesterday, his economic update, talking about an economic strategy for the country, and we're very happy to see that he recognizes, as most people who think about these things do nowadays, that the future for a country like Canada is to aim to be a world leader in a knowledge economy, and that our future has to be in investing in things that will drive growth, that will drive innovation, investing in R&D and those kinds of things. So anytime that message keeps getting out, we're hoping that that will filter through to small and medium business owners and be another motivator for them to get interested in this. But we obviously then need to tie that back to something that relates to them much more directly so that they feel compelled to do something about it themselves.
You know, in surveying the past year, in your mind, profile the major events that helped shape the ICT industry.
Well, this looming skills shortage is definitely something that is just came to the fore, I think, in the last year or so, because we had a crash a few years ago, so that caused some slack in the system, and then we've been growing sort of beneath the surface, not too visibly. We've been growing faster than the economy, and we're resuming the path of growth that goes right back to the mid-90s. You can almost just ignore the bubble and the burst, and you've got a good rate of growth, and then that eats up the supply of people, and the time comes when the shortage becomes apparent, and that's happened in the last year. The other thing is, there's no particular event, but there are waves of technology, and it seems that in our industry, each wave is having a greater impact on what technology can do in people's lives and for businesses. So the technology experts and then marketing experts are saying to me that we are now in a wave that can generate more change than what we've seen in the next 10 years than what we've seen in the last 10 years. So that's very, very significant, because if you told people, think back 10 years ago before the internet was really that pervasive. Think back 10 years ago when cell phones were still, you know, a very small minority of people had them. And ask yourself how your life has changed since then, when people weren't walking around with Blackberries and so on. So your life, your personal life and your business life has changed tremendously since then. Well, all the experts are saying it's going to change even more in the coming 10 years, because we're now into an infrastructure that allows all kinds of things to communicate with each other. We're still rolling out the interoperability between them and so on, but it's now all about applications that will interoperate and really change many things about what we do in our daily lives. So that's very dramatic, and it also for us, the message to us is this would be an awful time for Canadian businesses to be underusing technology, since the impact of technology is going to be accelerating, not reducing. The other events in the last year, I would say, is the political situation. We have been operating, at least at the federal level, with temporary governments for years and years now. Every government is either you're changing over within a party, or you've got a minority election, a minority government, etc. And that causes a lack of continuity in tackling the fundamental issues facing our country. So every time you have a new government, they have to reassess how they're going to approach the same issues that the previous government approached, and there's a bit of a lag there in the continuity. So that has been affecting our industry, because our industry is an industry of the future. It's an industry about the long-term future of Canadian society and the economy. And we're dependent on people having consistent strategies to tackle those issues.
It seems then that you're in an ideal position, because your organization, and with your background, you're providing that sort of continuity in terms of vision and mission and an industry perspective that needs to be heard. So that's a very valuable sort of point or a reference point provided for the country today.
Yes, there's no doubt that we're a bit special as an industry. We are a very large industry in our own right. We have about 590,000, close to 600,000 people employed in the ICT industry, but there's almost the same number of people involved in ICT functions in the rest of the economy. What we have is we have an industry that in itself does more than double the amount of R&D that of any other industrial sector in the country. We have more capital investment, largely because of our telecom members, more capital investment than any other industry by a huge margin, more R&D by a huge margin, more growth than the economy as a whole. So we're important in our own right, but what is special about us is the fact that ICT is into everything, and ICT must be into everything even more if we're going to succeed. That gives us two things. It gives us an appreciation for what is really can drive productivity and what should be done to drive it. Also, we're a little bit of the cause of, or the facilitator of this global economic shift taking place. It's because of communications technology and information technology that it's so easy to move knowledge jobs around the world nowadays, and it's making life much easier for China and India and Brazil and all that to be able to grow more quickly and to shift jobs. So we're in the front lines of the fundamental phenomena that are affecting all developed societies and the shift from developed to developing societies. So we have expertise and we have implication that is unique. Because of that, we have a lot to contribute, and we have a responsibility to contribute to the public strategies and the industrial strategies and the strategies of businesses to succeed in this. We're quite confident, by the way. We see all these shifts taking place to China and India, and we're quite positive about what that can mean for Canada. I mean, it doesn't mean a disaster for us if we really are careful about our strategy. We can do very well in that environment. We have to be compelled to innovate in order to succeed, but that's great. We do have a very good position in the world in that we can use the lower cost, high capacity brain power that can we reach out to in those other countries to actually help our enterprises be more globally competitive. And if we stay in the lead, we can continue to attract and keep the best jobs here in Canada.
Again, because of your position, your leadership position, and a very sort of very important group, it gives you valuable insights. Can you share your top predictions for 2007?
For the year 2007, well, I think I see growth in our industry and growth in the use of people with ICT skills continuing, if not accelerating a little bit. Obviously, economic growth may be a little bit milder than it's been in the past year. Things are slowing down a bit, but I think the ICT industry will continue to do well. And because use of ICT in other sectors is so important, I think the need for our people is going to keep growing. I think the state of public debate in Canada will continue to advance in the right way. I think people in their day-to-day lives are aware of this shift taking place to China, India, etc., and they do expect their leaders to develop strategies to succeed in that. So I think that our public discourse and debate will continue to develop in that sense. And I think that in the next year, we will find us addressing more publicly and more visibly our skills shortage. I think Canada will continue to have a public discourse around addressing labor shortages and skill shortages just for demographics. But I think we're also going to come to realize much more visibly and publicly that the higher skilled occupations like ICT need to be addressed, that we have a problem there. And that's going to be good for me because, in my view, that will continue to convince people that we must invest in education, we must invest in higher education, we must invest in our country's R&D capability and all that. So I'm hoping that notwithstanding the very serious distractions of potential elections federally, elections in certain provinces and so on, that the public discourse will continue to advance on the things that matter a lot to our future.
You sort of touched on this already in terms of small and medium-sized businesses. You indicated perhaps providing some sort of investment incentive, sort of driven by the government. How should public policy be changed and updated in 2007?
I think the statement of the finance minister yesterday is a good start, and we're expecting similar things from the government of Ontario, and we note that some provincial premiers have signified that they're on the ball as well. Premier Rodding MacDonald in Nova Scotia, for example, Premier Campbell in BC. Public policy has to change on the basis that we have to go from realizing and knowing about these fundamental trends in the global economy to crystallizing a sharper focus on a Canadian strategy. And that sharper focus will have us then take the measures a little more intensely and aggressively to address that. So that means addressing skill shortages in what can we do in our immigration system, what can we do in our school system, what can we do to foster training in enterprises, what can we do to foster maybe apprenticeship programs and co-op programs for people at the start of their career, and what can we do, so things are very specific. Like in the next year, the discourse is going to have to get into specific solutions, specific actions. And then in addressing the underuse of technology by our small and medium businesses, that's why we think the public discourse has to turn to programs that will actually stimulate that. We know the national program of a productivity gap. We know the cause of it. It's underuse of ICT. If you know the problem, if you know the cause, then you tackle it. You do something about it.
Do you see any societal issues that need to receive our attention and focus in 2007 and beyond?
Well, there's some very good societal impacts of technology. We're hoping that the healthcare system, people will finally begin to see the benefits of an electronic health record, and that's a huge benefit. Like everything else with our technology nowadays, the more things it can do, the more you have to manage the potential downsides, which are security risks, privacy risks, and so on. And I have to say our industry is highly sensitive to that. Actually, the answer to it in large part is technology itself, and Canadians, luckily enough, are world leaders. We have a number of enterprises that are world leaders in security matters. We're also, we have an excellent reputation around the world for how we handle privacy and so on. Those are all things that are going to be very important issues for our whole industry in the coming year.
Bernard, thank you for taking the time to share your accumulated wisdom and insights with the audience. You gave us many things to consider, and actually even points that we can even take action in. So we will follow ITAC and your work with keen interest.
Thank you very much. I certainly enjoyed it, and I hope it will be interesting for your audience.